Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Idea Brain. Sorry for the long break between the last episode and this one. I've been quite busy away at the RSI program in Boston. And this past week I started school, so I've been busy with that transition back into the school year. But I'm excited to continue my consistent posting of Idea Brain again in this school year. So I want to talk a little bit about RSI and some of the past things that I've been working on over the past couple months, and I want to give you guys some context on it and maybe some advice that of what you guys could explore in your next year. So first I want to give some context about the RSI program. So each summer 100 of the world's most accomplished high school students are selected for a summer science and engineering program called RSI, which is at MIT. And this program combines on-campus coursework in the first week with off-campus research in Harvard or MIT labs, where you meet with a mentor on a daily basis and conduct some really cool and interesting research with them. And then in the final week of RSI, on the last couple of days, there's an RSI symposium where you present your work to everyone else at the camp. And it's a one-of-a-kind program that's run completely cost-free. So I didn't pay a single penny except for my flight costs to go to RSI, and they cover all your living expenses there at MIT. And it's run by the Center for Excellence in Education, CEE. I would highly encourage you guys to check out the CEE.org website to learn more about this program. And if you are a junior with a passion in STEM, be sure to apply before the due date in November. This is a really interesting program. It's truly amazing. I'm gonna talk more about it, but I would highly, highly encourage you guys to look into it more. So RSI, it was a 6-week intensive summer research program where more than the research itself, I valued how many people I met there, how many super smart and intelligent people I met there, from National Olympiad winners to students with published research papers, first authored research papers, as well as ICEF grand winners. I met some of the most insane scientists, students that are also scientists in this country and internationally as well. And it was an honor to get to meet these people. The 6 weeks that I spent there were truly some of the most magical moments that I've had in a long time. And doing research in MIT labs and coming back to our dorm and meeting all these people every night and doing different social events with them, having fun with them, competing for counselor points or nighttime frisbee games or random karaoke sessions. It was all just an amazing experience. Looking back on it now, it all feels like a big fever dream. Like the amount of all-nighters that I pulled during RSI, I've never pulled that many in my life. In fact, I think my first all-nighter was at RSI. And all of that has led up to now, which is post-RSI depression. And it's been 2 weeks since I've come back from the program, and I'm still feeling a little bit sad that it ended. It was just truly amazing. And I would highly recommend all of you to apply in your junior year. But do keep in mind that it is highly selective and extremely competitive to get in. So do try to apply to a lot of these programs, not just RSI, but SSP. And I know there's other programs at MIT like Beaverworks or MITES or Promise, which are all really interesting as well. I'm also really happy to share with you guys that my co-first authored research paper that I've been working on with my mentor at RSI and before it as well has been recently published at a top tier scientific journal, and this has an impact factor greater than 13. This has been a product of my work in the biomedical application area of AI, and I've been working along with a resident oncologist and several postdoctoral fellows, and together we developed an automated platform for sarcopenia assessment from head and neck cancer patient CT images. And in case you're wondering what exactly sarcopenia is or head and neck cancers, to give you some context, sarcopenia is a medical condition that describes the loss of skeletal muscle mass. And it's increasingly found, sarcopenia is increasingly found to be more predictive of treatment outcomes, as well as patient tolerance for treatment-related toxicities in head and neck cancers. And usually in clinical settings, different prognostic markers such as weight loss or BMI are measured to screen for and predict poor treatment outcomes for patients. But the impact of these different prognostic markers on outcomes is something that clinicians look at to really measure the outcome probabilities of different patients. So BMI is a relatively imperfect measure because even at equivalent BMI values, a patient could have more muscle mass or less body fat. So we're looking at new body composition prognostic markers to see how well they are or how predictive they are of different head and neck cancer outcomes, and to see how accurate our predictions can get when we try different prognostic markers. And this type of a real-time tool where it can not only detect the loss of muscle mass, but it can also make predictions based on that, can help tremendously for a clinician to intervene and do something in the short term to really help that patient improve their survival probabilities. So the way that we were assessing these computed tomography or CT scans was with a deep learning pipeline, and it allows scans to be analyzed, segmented, and it provides results of like an analysis of these scans within like fractions of a second, which would normally take doctors almost like 20-30 minutes to analyze. So this pipeline has overall been an immense savings in time and cost, but it's also led to the possibility where we can take thousands and thousands of CT images, which previously would have taken an unimaginable amount of time for clinicians to go in and analyze every single one of those scans. Now we can segment each scan in a fraction of a second, or analyze these scans in seconds and produce these numbers relating to the loss of skeletal muscle mass. And we can do that in seconds for each scan. And now that we can do that for so like thousands and thousands of scans, there's so much further analysis that we can run on those scans to see like which types of patients might be more susceptible to head and neck cancers. Does obesity, is that helpful for surviving head and neck cancer, or is that not helpful? Because actually what's interesting is there have been studies in the past that have hinted at obesity being helpful in surviving head and neck cancer. So it'll be really interesting to look at these further assessments that we can do on these massive data sets. But in summary, we have developed and undergone this whole pipeline of we built this whole pipeline, deep learning pipeline, to look at these scans, analyze them, and then also make these predictions based off of our analyses of these scans. These predictions of outcome, like how likely the patient is to survive, how they respond to different treatments. And we've even passed off a lot of our analyses to real clinicians, where they went in and validated to make sure that our pipeline was performing to a clinical standard and that it could really be applied. And it performed really well. So we're working to get it really applied in actual clinical practice soon. And if you're interested, please check out my paper at the JAMA Network. It's in the JAMA Network Journal. The title is A Development and Validation of an Automated Image-Based Deep Learning Platform for Sarcopenia Assessment in Head and Neck Cancer. And it was published on August 10th, 2023, I believe. So if you're interested, please look at that. My entire project will be in that paper. And it's a really interesting source to learn more about anything that I just talked about. If you're interested in any of that, please check that out. I promise it will be a very interesting paper to read. But yeah, by the way, another one of my first author papers that I've been working on for a while, actually, at UCLA, it was recently accepted for a podium presentation at the upcoming AMIA conference, the American Medical Informatics Association annual symposium. And the conference organizers recently shared my schedule. And my presentation is going to be in the deep learning category, along with other presenters from Stanford PhDs and UPenn MDs. So I am super, super excited to be presenting along with them. And I'm more excited to learn from their projects and see what research they've been doing at their institutions. And I will be sure to share that with you guys in one of my next episodes. Once I attend that conference. But until then, goodbye, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Thank you.